Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country
church. Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come together and we come to open your word, Heavenly Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a greater understanding of this, your word, Father, to bring it into our hearts, not just our mind, in the hearing of our ears, but to settle it in our hearts, Father, to pick us up, turn us around, and make us part of thy family. Now, Father, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, before we get into our scripture this evening, got some things to share with you. Some things that you really need to know. And this church needs your prayer. I need your prayer. I placed a fleece out before God. Just as it was done in the Old Testament. And I made a covenant with God. By the end of January, if we don't have at least 5 people attending services regularly, I will close the church. When I close the church, it's going to be taken away from a lot of people. Because when I close the ministry down, those that I have ordained, that ordination will be no good. Kenny, I know you're listening. When this church closes, there's no power to back your ministry. I need you and Terry doing everything you can in prayer Because you see, I haven't asked too much. But for a place to operate, it takes people. And it takes those that love each other enough to work to build that place. That's what the church is all about. The church is about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also about our love one for the other and to be there for each other. I know most of you that are listening to me, not even close my age, so some of you can't remember back when really the main reason you got out and went to church to start with was for the love of each other. That's what all the churches were full. That's why we have so many church buildings sitting around. It's because they were all at one time filled. Because when it got church time, everybody in the community, even those that wasn't saved, went to church. Because they were neighbors and they were friends. And they was there to greet and to work and to help each other. A farmer out here with a big farm. He got sick, couldn't work his land. Whatever needed to be done, the men of the church would get together and go do it. The women would get together and cook dinner for them while they worked. That's what the church is supposed to be about. We can't have a church when all we do is depend on the pastor to do all the building. It's up to each and every one of us. We've got those that has been prayed for that God has touched and healed, yet they're not here. Why? Because they're not looking to God. They're not caring about His work. They're not caring about His word. And when you come right down to it, they're not caring even about each other. Or they'd be here. I went Monday to visit with one that was sick in bed. So sick they couldn't even actually spend any time with me to even talk to me. I left. I told another one was there. I told myself I'll be back in a little bit. Maybe tomorrow. So I got out and I got to thinking, no. You left without praying for me. This is what the Spirit told me. Said, you left without praying for him. You need to go back and pray. So I did. The next morning, I got up and I thought, you know, I know God touched him because God's the one who told me to go pray for him. I need to go see just how he has come along. Because God works with all of us differently. Some he'll heal right then, instant, and some over a period of time because they got to grow. So I went back the next morning to visit. He's up, fully dressed, sitting in his living room, laughing and talking. Nothing wrong with him. He said, I'm still just a little weak. I told him, I said, we're going to take care of that too right now. Anointing with oil. Had prayer with him again. For him to have that strength renewed. He was supposed to have been here tonight to let us know when all that left. Where's he at? He can end up a lot worse than what he was before I prayed for him. All because he does not care enough about God to come to God's place. Now, I have visited with several this week, talking with them, and they all promised me they would be here tonight. They was going to start coming to church regular. There's four of them that's not even here. And you know, we've got those that has a lot to do with this property. And you all know who that is. I don't have to name names. You all know who it is. But don't care enough about the church to come. Yet when you talk to them, we don't want to see it closed. No, you got to keep it open. Well, I told them exactly what I'm telling you tonight. I've done warned them also. If there's not at least five coming regular by the end of January, it will be closed again. And we'll close it. Because when it comes to my online ministry, I can do that from home. I don't have to quit. It's actually separate from the church. I just do it because I'm here, so I bring it in to these services too. But for about seven years, I talk daily on there. Even when I was pastoring some of the other places, churches, my services there was recorded, but then the nights and things that we didn't have service at the church, they were still getting their service because I'd done it from home. So I don't have to lose out. But I'm not going to keep spending God's money for nothing. And let me tell you something. I don't pay rent here. That's one good thing. It helps a whole lot. But still, every time I have this tank filled up out here, I'm looking between $300 and $400. Plus, I've got a light bill every month. And to do it for one, two, or three of us, just a waste of money. Three times now in the last month I've been here by myself. Just me. And my own life. He this building. My home's up. My home, I keep it the whole time. I would love to see this church go on, but I can't do it all on my own, and we need the Lord's help. And he's promised us he would take care of our needs and things. But we've got to make sure that we keep it in prayer and do everything we can do to see it grow. Now, those that promised me they'd be here that ain't here, they will be seeing me tomorrow. I grant you that. They will see me tomorrow. But we can't force people to come. Now, yeah, I can force my family. They may get mad at me, but that's happened before too. So I don't pay attention to that. But they don't live around here. I got one daughter who lives here. But they get back, they've got two. One of them does come when she feels halfway decent. But she's the one that always, and she's been doing it every year for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Keeps a cold almost all winter because she keeps her house too cold because she's kind of stocky. And to her, it ain't cold, but it keeps her where she can't hardly speak or anything with a sore throat. That's why she ain't here today, because I was talking to her today. In fact, she had went, when I seen her, she was after medication for her throat. And I told her exactly what I've told the church. If you'd come to church and you come regular and you would listen with the heart instead of just with the ears, you probably wouldn't have all this trouble with that sickness. Because the Lord promised us he'd take care of that. They look at me and they say, well, you know, you must be in good shape because you're always on the go. There's a lot of times I don't feel like getting here. A lot of times it's hard for me to actually leave the house and start over here. So I just go to God in prayer. And then I start telling Satan, get out of me, leave me alone. I belong to Jesus. Now go and do it in Jesus' name. You've got to leave. I get here, I'm fine. I'm 88 years old. If I can do it, so can everybody else. They just don't, because they don't want to. They hear with their ears, but nothing goes to the heart. They really receive nothing, yet they hear. And we're told about that in the scripture. We're told that they will, that they hear with ears, but they don't hear with the heart. And then we get a whole lot of this, well, you know, that's your interpretation of the word. But I believe. No. Because you see, this word wasn't given to me and you to interpret. Do you know that? Wasn't given to me and you to interpret this word. A lot of people don't want to believe that. But just because they don't want to believe it, don't make it ain't so. And we're told that in God's word. You see, it's not what I believe. It's not what I think. It is what the word of God says. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start here with verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. You see, this is where everything has to go. It's got to go to the heart, and it's got to come from the heart. That's what makes us the children of Almighty God. But he goes on down here in verse 20, telling us about this interpretation. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I don't have to interpret it. I have to study it and come to an understanding of it, see the depth of it, and believe it as it speaks. Because you see, this word is also God. Mankind don't understand that either, because he's not listening and putting things in the heart. But the word is God. Oh, no. No, that ain't so. Now, Pastor, you know that that's just not so. That's not right. Well, let's just see. Maybe we'll get into our scripture tonight. I don't know. Maybe. Here's what God's word says. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word is God. And the Word, we are told in another place that the Word was made flesh. That was the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born as that babe in the manger. He was the Word. And that's where we are to go. We go to God's Word. That's what we have to understand. But it's got to go to the heart. And then it's got to come from the heart. Just talking about things don't get things done. It's got to be brought forth and brought by faith in God. And we have to live his word. You put his word in the heart. You bring that forth by living it. Others are seeing him through you. And then they get to wanting what you got. Because they see you walking in joy when they can't understand. How's someone walking in joy? He's got this against him, and he's got that against him, he's got this against him, and yet he can walk and praise God and he's joyful. That's the reason I can take all of this other that comes against me. Because I do have the Lord God. And right now, I know very few that's actually living with as much against them is what Satan has been bringing against me this past 7 or 8 months. In fact, really for the last 2 years. Kenny can tell you. No. You can. Kenny can tell you. Satan's been trying to break him and me apart for almost a year. (Clears throat) bugging Kenny all the time. But we share all this with each other. And we keep each other in prayer, and Satan can't break us apart. But he sure keeps trying and keeps fighting. If you ever talk to Kenny, ask him. Kenny will tell you. Then he used two doctors to take my life out of my home. He's actually took her right now away from me because she don't know who I am. I still have her flesh, but she has no idea who I am. She don't know her children. She can't even tell you her own name. I'm talked about everywhere here in Meade County. Now, when you talk to Pastor Tony, you got to be careful around him, because he don't care what he says to you. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I care. But I'm going to give you what God gave me. If it steps on your toe, it just steps on your toe. Maybe you'll holler out and straighten up a little bit. Because that's what it's all about. I love the Lord and I love him more every day. And I pray and I keep asking him, Lord, move me closer today than I was yesterday. And lead me to someone today, Lord, that I can share your word with. And he does. I share his word every day with somebody. Every day. His word, not mine, or not man's word, not the things of this world out here, but his word. And when he tells me to pray for somebody, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it then. Just like I was telling you about Monday. He told me to go and pray for him. I just turned around. I didn't even make it back home. I just turned around and went back, right back, prayed for him. And it worked. So sick, laying in bed. Had to be waited on. Couldn't even hardly talk to me at all. Said just very few words. And I got ready. I told him, I said, well, I'm going to let you rest. Go ahead and sleep a while. And rest. And I left. I got out in the car and I started back home. The Lord told me, he said, you didn't pray for me. You need to go pray for me. I turned around and I went back. Had prayer. He come out of bed that evening. Next morning, though, he was up, dressed, sitting and laughing. And when I went in, seen him sitting there, and I spoke to him, he went to joking with me. Good spirits. He also promised me he'd be here tonight, but he's not here. But he was hearing with the ears, but not from the heart. Because if he would have really understood what was going on with him, what was happening to him, and that it was God doing it, he'd have been here tonight. This is something that we all need to understand. Everybody we know is not going to do what we ask them to do, but there are some that will. And we have to keep trying. We may talk to 1,000 people before we ever get one to God. But that word tells me that that one that we get to God is worth more than this whole world out here. That's his word, not mine. That's his. All right. Let's get into Galatians chapter 4. He starts out here, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Well, we know that Paul here is using the old Roman practice of the way they treated their offsprings, their children. The difference between them and us today as a Roman father, he appointed guardians over his children's affairs. But that one was also considered a child, was considered a minor until he was 25 years old. Today, in most of our homes, at 11 and 12 now, they're not considered children. They don't really call them adults quite then. They, not children either. They're teenagers. Then along about 18, they're adults. And in the early days of church, you see, that wasn't so. They were still under tutors and governors until they were 25. Your tutors was responsible for them. The governor was responsible for what was theirs, their possessions, until they were 25 years of age. We need today to be more careful about our children. And every parent needs to see that that child is raised where the Word of God is at. That is our responsibility. But they're not doing it. And this is another reason things are falling apart today. We're losing right now two generations in the church. We're losing most of my children's generation because they went the ways of the world. And we're losing my grandchildren's generation because their parents didn't even send them to church. They sure didn't take them because they quit going. They didn't send them either. And we're starting actually toward the third generation, which is my great-grandchildren. I've got great-grandkids right now. One just left here and drove to Tennessee to meet her dad that actually pulled a gun on her and her mother when she was yet a baby, less than a year old. He threatened to kill both of them. Needless to say, her grandma and I are pretty worried about her. And we're keeping her in our prayers. Now we'll ask you all to keep her in your prayers. James, I think you've seen her. I think Dennis has, but I'm not sure. Kim, the red-headed one. Now, her grandma's raised her since she was a year old, because her mother did die. And her dad sure didn't want nothing to do with her, because at one time he would have killed her. He was in the army at the time, and the army put him in prison. He went to the stockade. He was in jail, I don't know, 2 or 3 years over his actions. And then dishonorably discharged. But they turned him loose back on society again. And we need to stay in God's Word. But you see, those are two things that was over the minors in the Romans' day and time, was tutors and governors. And I told you what both of them was. Number two says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And we know what that was for. That was, one was to oversee the minor, and the other was to oversee his possessions. And three, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the element of the world. Well, we know that when you and I were born into this world, we were born under and with a sinful nature. Adam and Eve gave us that. And we walked that way until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when we become free and out from under bondage. Now, they also, though, he was talking not so much about that as he was when he wrote this, about them being in bondage unto the law. Because up until the Lord Jesus Christ came, and until his death, his resurrection, his ascension back into heaven, and until the day of Pentecost, they all were still under bondage of the law. They had to live according to the law. Well, they wouldn't do it. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was born under the law. He fulfilled the law. And while he was here on earth, he kept the things of the law. The only man that ever kept it, really. He kept it all, but he kept it all. His mother, she was Jewish. We know Mary was. We know what lineage she was even. And when he was 8 days old, she took him to the temple to get him circumcised. That's also when he was really given his name. Jesus. It's these things we don't really stop and consider, because we don't have them in the heart. Here during one of the services, I was talking to the church that day about a man who wrote a book that he mailed me the book. I didn't even ask for it. But he mailed it to me about everything you got to go to the cross. Got to go to the cross to be saved. The cross gives you your salvation. But you see, what was making it so wrong was the way he was saying it. He was stating it and putting it like that cross could do something for you. No, that cross don't give you salvation. That cross was the instrument of death. But the man on the cross that's what paid for you. That's what gives you life. That man on the cross. Not the cross itself. But yes, we need to remember the point of the cross. The one that hung there. The one that was nailed to it. That was paying our price. He took all of your sins, all of my sins, the sins of the whole world, every sin, past, present, and future, he took to the cross. He took all of the sickness, all the disease to the cross. And paid with his life for it. That's where our salvation comes from. Not from a piece of wood. But we've got to remember that cross, yes. And the price that man paid there. Even our communion. We take communion for that reason. To remember what he bore in his flesh. The pain. Those stripes, those nails, the thorns on his head, and the giving of his life to pay for each and every one of us. That's why we don't twist and turn his word. Now, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Talking about us being made of a woman. Well, no, we're born of a woman. That's what he's talking about. We're being born from woman. But, you know, we need to understand how things work by living under grace. I am to honor my parents, both my mother and my father. But I need to understand, too, how the family works. The head of my family is my earthly dad. You're on this earth. And I am to obey him in everything as long as it is by the word of God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is his head. He's the head of my dad. Or supposed to be. We know it don't always work that way. But that's the way it is to work. And then the Father is the head of Jesus. We forget all of this. And we want to go the ways of this world out here and do the things it does. Instead of staying in the Word of God and really walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with the Spirit of Almighty God and enjoying walking in the kingdom of Almighty God. We're not waiting for His kingdom to come. It's already here. It's here on earth. And when you walk with Jesus and you walk in the Spirit and the Spirit and Jesus is walking in you, you know you're in His kingdom. Now He's coming back to set up a reign for 1,000 years. And let me tell you something. That 1,000 years ain't gonna be no sin here either. And all that has gone on before that belongs to Him will be coming back with Him. Think about it. One day, all of His are coming back to this earth, and they're going to spend 1,000 years again right here on earth. And at the end of that 1,000 years, they're going to find a new heaven and a new earth. Won't think about that. We don't have any idea of the good things that God has really got waiting for us that will follow Him. We know some things, yes, because He's gave us some. But we've got no idea just how much and how great. But we do know that all that's not ready is going to wind up also at the end of that 1,000-year reign. They're going to step through that 1,000 years of hell. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, there'll be the great white throne judgment. And then hell and all that is not ready or has not accepted the Lord, that has not been right with God, and Satan and all his demons will be cast into that lake of fire that will burn forever. And the scripture tells us the worm never dies. No way out. Through eternity, you're going to burn. I don't want that kind of pain. I can only talk for me. But I've had enough pain here on this earth. My younger life, it was one pain after another. My older years have been the best years of my life. And most especially this last 30 years of it. And people say, oh, growing old's hard. No, it ain't. Not when you belong to Him. And when you are walking by His word, you keep getting stronger. You keep getting better. You keep getting closer. You keep having more joy in your life. You're at more comfort. And you find, got everything I need. Now this world can yank things away from you, yes. And God Himself can take things away from you. Things that are standing in your way when you're really walking the best you understand, then things that you'll do that a lot of times you didn't even know was wrong, He'll let you know it's wrong and He'll make a way for you to make it right. Can't ask for nothing better than that, can we? And you grow stronger through each and every time and every trial. When you come through that trial, you come through it a little stronger than you was when you started, because He went through it with you. We don't go through trials and troubles by ourselves. He is always there with us. And he's there to guide us. This book right here is a light unto my pathway. It's a light under my feet. I can do what this book tells me I can do. I can be what this book tells me I can be. And it is a roadmap for me to find heaven and make it my home. All right here in this book. That's why Satan has wanted to play with these books. That's why we got so many different versions out there today. Satan working through mankind. The man not happy with what he had. We're going to have to reprint this, do it over. We got to change this or that about it. We can take this out of it. We can add this to it. And it'll be easier to understand. Satan's deception, making it what he wanted it to be, instead of what the Word said. I had one man tell me, you know, the King James wasn't the first Bible printed. Yes, it was. The King James is the one that was printed from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, you've got other things out there, but that happens to be the first Bible. It was 40 years in being translated. Think about that. It wasn't done overnight, and it wasn't done carelessly. That's why it is truth. They'll say, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it don't. And a lot of them, they'll take a verse here, and they'll go back over here, another book, and they'll get a verse over there. And they'll say, see, they don't match. Contradicts itself. No, they took both out of the setting that tells really what that verse is all about. But when you leave this Bible and the verses in the setting in which they are, and you read the whole chapter, then you get the right understanding of it if you are guided by the Spirit of Almighty God. But that word tells you that if we're not guided by the Spirit, we can't understand that. The lost of this world cannot understand the Word of God. That's why a lot of them stays lost. Because they don't want to go to church. They don't want to change. I want my way. Let's do it my way. This is what I think. So I'm not going to change because I see it this way. It don't matter how I see it. It's what that says. It took me a long time to learn that. I've been shot at. Oh, yeah. I had a Chicago contract put out on me to get me killed. They tried to run over me. All because of his word. Had two windshields shot out on me while I was driving down the highway. I've been beat on. Lied to and lied about. But through it all, God kept me. He kept me going. Kept me stable. And each time, I grew just a little stronger. Did it happen overnight? No. It didn't. All right. Here in verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. 7, we'll close with these. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Once we become born again, once we have that salvation, we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we got to worry about? Man can't even do anything to you and I unless God allows it and approves it. They can't take your life unless God allows it. If he allows it, it's your time to go home. So why do we walk in fear? We go on about this plague, as they call it. This virus going out here. Everybody running around with a mask and all on. We've got a state right now, the governor of that state is a woman. She has never closed that state down. They don't wear any masks or nothing. And they had less of this virus than any other state going. Because for one, they don't lie about it. If they say, well, we've got 25 cases, they've got 25 cases. But they've got less than any other state we've got going. Because you see, if those that belong to God are walking in his word, in Psalms 91, it tells you, they can be 1,000 fold at your left hand. 10,000 at your right hand, but that plague will not come near you nor your dwelling. So why do I fear? That's why you don't see me out here running all over the place with a mask on. I wear it in a couple of places, and that's just because I have to go there, and they won't let me in no other way. But it's not because I'm afraid to go there. For me to go see Libby, I have to put a mask on to get in the building. But then even after I get in, a lot of times I'm sitting there with it pulled out. I don't like breathing through that thing. For me to go to my barber, I've got to put the mask on to get in. Makes a lot of sense, too. I put it on, I go in. I get in the chair, take the mask off, so he can cut my hair. Made a lot of sense where it ended, didn't it? But when we are a child of God, God takes care of us. And we're going to close there. God willing, we may pick up there in Galatians 4 and chapter 8, or verse 8 rather, chapter 4 and verse 8. Come Sunday morning. I don't know. I think I may give Sunday morning to you. How about that? And I'll come back Sunday night with verse 8. See what God gives you this week. I've shared a lot of things with you all tonight. A lot of it about our situation. Let's see I've asked you all to keep the church and me and all in your prayers to see what he gives you this week. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we close your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, for your saints wherever they are in the world. We know that some of them are walking, Father, in places that will mean imprisonment and death if they are caught. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away, with no excuse whatsoever, because, Father, it has been filled with your word. Our government was based on the foundation of your word in Jesus. And yet they have been those in our government, you know, as leaders that have took Jesus out of every place he was in and leading this country, Father, down a pathway that it should not be. Help us, Father, to remove them from office and to replace them with ones that will work for the Lord Jesus Christ, work for your church, and work with us to put our land back and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, these men that come from different walks of life. But when they come together for their meetings, Father, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, and Pastor Bass and the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know the need that is there, Father. And that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, these churches, Father, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But even more than that, Father, we ask that they be made places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus and eternal life. And Father, my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. We know they walk on dangerous ground also, Father, that can mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, the Johnson family, the Lee family, the Taylor family, my wife's family, my family, and Pastor Kenny's family, Terry's family, and Father, for each one that hears this message, for their family, that the Holy Spirit will work in these family, work with those that are walking in darkness, turn them around, and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so none be lost, and all can make and find their way to heaven. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, for Sue, for David, Father, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, these all stand in need of a touch of the Holy Spirit and the healing that comes from the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal them from the top of their head, Father, to the bottom of their feet. We ask this all in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right, remember now, God willing, we can all be together again Sunday morning when Brother Dennis will be bringing to us what the Lord lays on his heart throughout the main days of this week. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great night. God bless.